Hey, everybody, it's Greg with some sad news. Kind of funny, best friend Jason Hales passed away over the weekend. His mother sent out a Facebook message. He was only 41. And Jason was incredibly active in the Kind of Funny Facebook group, really active on Twitter. Basically, if you were super dialed in, you knew who Jason was because he was welcoming. He was gracious. He was smiling. He was helpful. He was happy to be here. But even if you don't know Jason by name, I bet you know him by his work. Jason is the person who started hashtag PS We Love You XOXO. If you remember way back on a PS I Love You XOXO, I was basically like, oh, we need to send this person love. Go tell them they're doing a great job. And Jason on his own took that and ran with that and made the hashtag PS We Love You XOXO and motivated the community sometimes on a daily basis to go out and find a game developer or a games press enthusiast, journalist, whatever you want to call them, and go out and say, hey, you're doing a great job, and try to combat the negativity we see each and every day on the internet. I can't think of a movement or a person that exemplifies what we're going for with the Kind of Funny Best Friend stuff more than Jason Hales. You know, obviously it's a sad day, and obviously, it's painful to lose a Kind of Funny Best Friend, a community member. But I think what's so special about Jason is that you go today to the Facebook group, you go to the subreddit, you look on Twitter, you look on his Facebook profile, and you see dozens and dozens of people talking about how this man touched their lives, how his commitment to being a good person made other people's lives better. And again, that's what this is all about. That's what Kind of Funny is all about. And so Jason got it, and he will be sorely missed. But I think the message of all this, right, to take away is that everybody matters. Everybody makes a difference. I don't think when Jason was being nice to people who joined the Facebook group for the first time and saying, hey, he thought he was changing the world, but you look at those messages today, and he did. He established, I think, in the industry's eyes, what makes the Kind of Funny community so special. The fact that, you know, out of the blue, he would reach out to people and say, hey, and motivate hundreds of people to go say, hey, you're great. We need more of that. And Jason got it.
Hello, Kind of Funny. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Greg, Colin, Tim and Nick, you've been amazing people creating a wonderful community. And it's not all about the videos, entertainment. It's all about family. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, November 16th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Oh, man, that got me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I woke up very sad this morning when I saw the news on Twitter. It was it obviously very unexpected. And it was one of those ones where I saw and I couldn't believe it. I was very confused when I woke up because Jason, like Greg mentioned it in his video, right? Like Jason's one of those people that I think if you're dialed in, you've seen around and you know, and my personal interactions with him have always been so positive. Like, it's very much been a thing of, I tweeted this out this morning that like since 2016 is when I started making content. Jason was there. Like, he was doing the hashtag Team Blessed thing when me and Alex Van Aken had our Extra Life face off thing. He was there hashtagging Team Blessed. And to this day, he's still been hashtagging Team Blessed, right? In a way that has always meant so much to me because it's felt like he's always kind of had my back. And he's always been there supportive. Like I this morning I went and I Twitter searched his name or his at with hashtag Team Blessed just to like look back at all the times he's just been there. And
yeah,
it's such a sad day today to see him go.
That's a beautiful thing though, man. Everybody send some sweet nasty love out there to somebody, to anybody. Use hashtag PS We Love You XOXO to honor Jason and everything that he's done for this community. So anyways, enough about that. Let's get to the news.
Today's stories include a huge Capcom leak, video games being good for your mental health, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, like the patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping, thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Gabby, Upstart, and HelloFresh, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Kevin, I will never not be impressed by your vocal cords. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Also, shout out to Kevin. I know a lot of people are wondering, did it happen? Did they play Fortnite over the weekend? And I'm happy to report, last night, 10 p.m., me, Kevin, Greg, and Barrett hopped on Fortnite on the PS5.
Hell
and had
yeah.
A good old time. It was
had
great.
A great time. Great time.
That's awesome.
Kevin, were you playing on your PS5, by the way?
Hell yeah, I was playing on PS5. It was dope.
It looks great, doesn't it?
It looks fantastic.
But I was shocked.
I'm also used
granted,
to
I've been playing
the
on the Switch before.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. I was the same thing.
Yeah. No, it was a very good time. My favorite part of playing last night, aside from just like all the shenanigans, because there were a lot of shenanigans. My towards the end
we
of
did
playing,
really well.
My,
well,
thank
you guys
I appreciate
did really well.
I think we killed it. We didn't get a win, but we played some really
good
matches.
We got 2 second places though,
and I got a lot of kills personally. And so like
it was impressive. It was Tim. It was really impressive. There was a moment where I had died, Greg had died, and we were both just watching Blessing, and Blessing's like looking at some dude with a scope, and we're like, oh okay, he's looking at this dude, and he fucking takes him down. And the dude was on the other side of the lake, man.
The other
it was a really
side
fun time.
Lake.
I forgot how fun Fortnite is. Fortnite is fantastic. But and this is gonna be like a PS5 commercial moment. I was playing with my Pulse 3D headphones, right? And toward the end of one match, or it was like halfway through the match actually, my headphones died. And I was like, oh no, how am I gonna like communicate with my team members? And then all of a sudden I hear their voices come through the controller, and I was like, oh yeah, this is the PS5 now, so I keep talking with them, and yeah, like they hear me through the headphones, and it was like this cool like, oh snap, it works as intended. At a certain
next
point
is here.
Yeah, like I think there was that quick moment of like, what is I think Kevin was like, what does Blessing sound like, he's far away? And then Greg's like, I think he's coming through his controller. And I'm like, yeah, my headphones died and all this stuff. And Greg was like, oh man, but it actually sounds kind of good. And then Kevin's like, Greg, you just really love PlayStation, don't you? Which was the funniest thing that was said yesterday.
Oh, man, I love you guys.
Story number one, though, Capcom has suffered a huge leak. This is all coming from Emma Kent at Eurogamer. And before I even get into it, Tim, have mm-hmm. you seen anything about this at all? Do you know what's going on?
Not at all. And, like, you know, huge Capcom leak can go one of two ways. It's either going to be really bad news of, like, information that, you know, could hurt people is out there, mm-hmm. or it's good news for a conversation on the show of Devil May Cry 6. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Little Dino Crisis reboot. Is it that blessed? Am I getting a Dino Crisis reboot?
You are not getting a Dino Crisis reboot, but you are getting a little bit of column A and column B with what you just said, right? Mm. You are seeing some people's information leak, but then you're also seeing some game info leak. And so we're going to get into it. This is what Emma Kent has to say. After revealing it was subject to a security breach at the beginning of November, Capcom has confirmed it's been the victim of a ransomware attack, and a pretty major one at that. Corporate information about Capcom's upcoming titles has already been leaked, but more worryingly, it seems a large amount of personal data has potentially been compromised. In a press release earlier today, Capcom said it was victim of a, quote, customized ransomware attack, end quote, and confirmed that personal information had been compromised. So far, the information verified to have been compromised included sales reports, financial information, and nine items of personal information from current and former employees. But Capcom is concerned that up to 350,000 items of personal information from customers, business partners, applicants, and employees could have also been compromised, including names, addresses, phone numbers, birth dates, shareholder numbers, and even employee photos. Capcom can't be sure about the exact amount of potentially compromised data, as some logs were lost in the attack, but it is certain no credit card information has been leaked. That's a sliver of good news, but plenty of customers and employees are now in the pretty terrifying position of wondering if their personal information has been made public. And Capcom has advised everyone potentially affected to, quote, practice an abundance of caution, looking out for any suspicious packages received by mail or messages that could potentially be received, end quote. Aside from the personal information concerns, a significant amount of corporate information appears to have been leaked online. Screenshots show a new Ace Attorney collection for PS4 and Nintendo Switch, Resident Evil 4 for Oculus VR, and a PC release for Monster Hunter Rise and Monster Hunter Stories 2. Internal briefings show a planned release date for Resident Evil Village of late April in 2021, although it's worth noting these plans may now be outdated. Screenshots also detail a new project called Shield, allegedly a multiplayer shooter, while another name that appears to be floating around includes a new Nintendo Switch IP named Guillotine, although details on this remain light. So yeah, a bit of column A in terms of all that information of employees, but then also potential customer information being released. But a peek into some newness from Capcom, which is a little bit exciting in this big old dark piece of world. Crap that is.
Yeah, for sure.
A big old leak.
I mean, looking at this stuff, I don't think there's any major surprises here. I think the most interesting things are Resident Evil continues its strategy of trying to out-platform Skyrim, of how many different platforms can this single game be on. Mm. I don't think it'll ever actually overcome it, but it's definitely on its way. Oculus VR, as far as I know, Resident Evil 4 hasn't been in VR yet, so that's interesting. I wonder
that sounds how, really cool. that's,
how it's going to work. I can't even imagine how it would work.
I mean, it would just be it'd be first person Resident Evil 4, right? Going through the same.
I mean, but that like story, very much changes the game, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But then the Shield and Guillotine. That's cool. New games, new IP. Capcom always doing interesting stuff. You know, they've kind of been on a real nice streak the last 5 years at this point, so I'm excited for some new stuff from them.
Yeah, the Shield stuff is interesting. I was trying to look into it. Of course, since this is a huge leak, there's information kind of scattered around all over the place. I saw one post from a Twitter user. I can't remember the name of the Twitter user, but it was basically a rollout plan, like a marketing rollout plan for Shield. And reading like internal marketing docs always feels gross because the way in which they talk about partners and ambassadors and all this stuff always feels kind of weird because they talk a lot about how, like, for Shield, right, it's supposed to be this kind of seemingly games as a service kind of platform where it's a multiplayer shooter where they have they start off with a PC beta release, move into console release the next year, and then partner up with a bunch of different content creators, turn them into ambassadors, and then later on you're going to see post-launch content. So I assume that's going to be kind of like their Destiny-ish sort of thing. The way in which they talk about it in the marketing doc is very interesting because they talk about turning ambassadors into quote-unquote believers by giving them permanent perks and all this different stuff. Either way, like, as weird as the marketing jargon is, kind of cool. You know, that's kind of exciting to see Capcom step into the games as a service realm. I think that could potentially be exciting if Shield turns out to be cool. But all in all, like, yeah, you look at the rest of this and you're like, yeah, the same. Nothing here strikes me as shocking. Resident Evil 4 VR a little bit strikes me as shocking. But even that is like, that lines up with Resident Evil 7, right? Because that came out in VR. And I forget whether or not they said that Resident Evil 8 is coming in VR or not. But like, cool. I'm sure there are going to be plenty of folks that play that and like that, enjoy it. And hopefully that's good too.
Yeah, it is always weird getting the peek behind the curtain of all the marketing stuff, because you're right, like, it's icky. It's just kind of like,
it
makes this thing that we love to enjoy kind of like, you get to see the real game going on, and it's like, oh damn, we're not supposed to see that far into the Matrix.
Yeah, no, they're playing us like a damn fiddle, basically. Ace Attorney Collection, also pretty cool. And then, yeah, all the Monster Hunter stuff. Like, again, none of this is necessarily shocking. I'm curious to see what project name Guillotine is for the Nintendo Switch, because that sounds like the antithesis of a Nintendo Switch game, calling a thing Guillotine. But again, code names, who knows? It could be like a 2D platformer.
GameCube was the Dolphin, so.
Yeah, exactly. Story number two. An Oxford study says video gaming can benefit mental health. This is Alex Hearn at The Guardian. Playing video games can be good for your mental health, a study from Oxford University has suggested. Following a breakthrough collaboration in which academics at the university worked with actual gameplay data for the first time. The study, which focused on players of Nintendo's springtime craze, Animal Crossing, as well as EA's shooter, Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville, found that people who played more games tended to report greater, quote, well-being, casting further doubt on reports that video gaming can harm mental health. Crucially, the study was one of the first to be done using actual playtime data. Thanks to the internet-connected nature of the games, the Oxford University team was able to link up psychological questionnaires with true records of time spent playing games. Previous studies had tended to focus on self-reported time playing, which is, the study found, only weakly correlated with reality. The researchers are keen to emphasize that the findings are not a carte blanche pass for games. Quote, I'm very confident that if the research goes on, we'll learn about the things that we think of as toxic in games, and we'll have evidence for those things as well, said Andrew Przybylski. I'm going to say Andrew Przybylski.
Nailed it.
The lead researcher on the project. The researchers hope the study will introduce a higher standard of evidence to discussions about the concept of video game addiction or digital harms in general. Quote, yeah, you have really respected important bodies like the World Health Organization and the NHS allocating attention and resources to something that there's literally no good data on. And it's shocking to me, the reputational risk that everyone's taking given the stakes. For them to turn around and be like, hey, this thing that 95% of teenagers do, yeah, that's addictive. No, we don't have any data. That makes no sense, Przybylski said. Cool. Tim,
cool.
Video games, great for your mental health. Does it shock you?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, this is the type of thing that as our industry matures and, you know, kind of gets out of its infant stage, like there's going to be a lot more conversation about the positives and negatives of the effects that they possibly can have. And I think that it's good that we're at a point that video games are mainstream enough that there are people that are, you know, trying to look at every side of it and like really get into the science behind, you know, what they're actually doing to us. And it's good that it's not just people trying to like have a vendetta against it and, you know, have a biased take that is trying to take video games down as the new rock and roll that's cancering kids' minds, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good. And no shit. Like, you know, like for as bad as gamers can be, like that sucks. Like gamers should be a good thing. It should be something that we're proud to be and that we, you know, are, you know, enjoy the connotations of. And it sucks that all the negativity has kind of taken it from us, but fuck that, we can take it back, and I think it's going to happen over time.
I mean, to what you just said, right, I don't think there's any reason why gamers should be inherently linked to negativity in our mind when we hear the term, when we think of what a gamer is. I like the fact that this study seems to be looking at games through an honest lens, right? They talk about trying to look into video game addiction and get an honest outlook on like what the effects of that might be. And it's awesome that like so far it seems the studies have pointed toward video games leading to a greater well-being is exactly how they put it. I want to see the study expanded, right? Because the two games we're looking at are Plants vs. Zombies and Animal Crossing. And yeah, I think that aligns, right? Like anybody who I've met that's played Animal Crossing doesn't seem to like leave that game feeling any sort of like shitty or feeling any sort of down on the world, right? Like I kind of want to see the study kind of expanded into different types of games, and I'm sure they're doing that, but like I want to see the study like done on people who play hella shooters or play Last of Us or play more adult leaning games, right? Or Tony Hawk or games that branch out from like just the family games, because I'm curious to see I'm curious to see like real honest results, because I'm definitely a firm believer that video games can have positive effects for us, right? Like that's one of the reasons why I'm here, because I love video games so much, and I can attest to the fact that there have been many times in my life where I play a video game and I come out of it feeling way better about myself, or I play a video game and I feel more empathetic, right? Like Gone Home is probably the biggest example of me playing a video game and being like, wow, that was a beautiful story, well told, that made me, that put me in the shoes of this person in a way mm-hmm. that expanded my worldview a bit, right? Like there are plenty of stories about those experiences that we have in video games. I wonder if there are the opposite side. Oh,
there
of it.
Is for sure. Yeah. I mean,
but and I want to see examples of that.
I feel like we've seen so many studies over the last 20 years about that stuff, and it's like, that's why I'm excited about this. It's like, obviously, not only does the scope need to be expanded, but like, it needs to be many other tests and experiments need to happen in studies to be able to have like concrete evidence of anything. But it's just one of those things where video games are such a broad thing that you can't just say video gaming benefits mental health. It can benefit mental health. It can also be a detriment to mental health, right? That's anything though. But I think that it's important that there are studies showing that it can, though. It's not just a bad thing. And the fact that this is starting, we're getting that ball rolling, you know, so the conversation can kind of shift from always being about addiction, always being about, you know, like the cause and effect of what playing violent video games can do to you and all of that. It's like, well, okay, yeah, but Animal Crossing does exist. Like, there are these other video games that need to be discussed in equal measure because they are there. And that is, Animal Crossing is as equal a video game as Call of Duty is. So the conversation needs to be equal there.
Yeah, and to what you said, right? Like, video games are such a big medium. This study itself, right? Andrew has a quote in here that says, oh yeah, that thing that 95% of teenagers do, right? Like, everybody at this point games, right? Most people in the world play video games, right? Or at least like most people in the US and in certain parts of the world play video games, right? And like, if that's the case, we got to look at video games in the same way that we look at something like movies or reading or any other medium, right? Like, I'm sure there are studies out there that are like, reading period is probably good for your mental, it's probably good for your mental health, right? But you probably shouldn't stop there in terms of studies, right? Like, what different types of reading are there, right? Like, what are the different genres, right? Like,
Goosebumps.
What Goosebumps versus Hunger Games, right? Like, what's going to be better for your mental health? And so I'm glad that these studies are happening. I hope that they expand more and dig deeper because I want to see deeper results. Story number three, the 2020 Video Game Accessibility Awards have been announced. This is from Steve Watts at GameSpot. And I'm going to tag in Kevin Coelho because I know Kevin Coelho is going to have a lot to say about this one. Because fun fact, Kevin Coelho had involvement in the Video Game Accessibility Awards.
Yeah, it sounds weird when you say it that way. It's just
he directed just it. He ran the show.
I did indeed.
That's involved. Yeah, that's involvement. You're involved.
Yeah, but you say it with like an ominous tone that freaks me out a little bit.
This is what Steve Watts at GameSpot had to write. As December approaches, we're getting near video game award season, with various sites giving their Game of the Year awards, and Jeff Keighley set to host a virtual presentation of the Game Awards. Before all that, though, the accessibility organization Able Gamers hosted its 2020 Video Game Accessibility Awards, honoring the games and studios that did the most to make their games available to all types of players. The presentation was hosted by Lana Pierce and Able Gamers' Steve Spawn, with a panel of presenters including several Twitch streamers, fellow accessibility advocates, and voice actor Troy Baker. The awards included categories like, quote, same controls but different, and, quote, clear text. The presenters each gave a brief explanation of the category, and then following each announcement, Spawn walked viewers through how each category solves for a specific accessibility problem. For example, the second channel category, which was won by The Last of Us Part II, honored games that offered an alternative or additional way of accessing the accessing game information for players who can't access it through the in-game tools. The Last of Us Part II was the only game to receive more than one award, but lots of this year's biggest games were represented in at least one of the categories. I have a list of winners, and here's the thing. As I was reading through, I realized that all the categories have like a cool name to them, but don't really like have, I'm sure if I look into it, like, there'll be an explanation somewhere, but from the GameSpot article, there wasn't really an explanation on what the different categories were. And so, Kevin, if I read you the categories, would you know what they mean?
I mean,
or do I
not,
need to
not,
do research?
Not
real
in
quick?
A way that I was showing it. I was showing the research.
Oh, you're showing it.
Yeah. But like, it's hard to summarize for someone who has slept as little as me in life, you know?
In life. Not just last night. Just
no,
in
yeah,
life.
Yeah, in life. I can send you the website and you can kind of pick and choose which ones you want to read.
Yeah, if you can send me the website, that'd be awesome. Before I get into the winners, though, like, Tim, like, what are your thoughts on the accessibility awards?
Oh my god. I mean, this is amazing. Like, this going back to the last story of what I was talking about, of just like I'm happy the conversation is starting because this just means more. This is going to happen. I feel like the accessibility in games, the entire conversation around that has started a couple years ago in a very real way, thanks a lot to Able Gamers and what Steven's done. And in the last couple of years, it's been blown up to be expected, right? I don't think it's quite yet standard, but I think that we're very close to that being a thing where if your games don't have bomb-ass accessibility features, you know, it's you're going to be criticized for that. It's going to affect the score of the game and like the kind of conversation around the game. So this is fantastic. Like, this is the type of thing that when people are rewarded for their efforts, others are going to look at that and be like, oh shit, we should be doing that too, you know? And I think that it's been a great year for accessibility in video games based on seeing other people who care very deeply about this stuff and are way more into the weeds of it all than I am. On Twitter and stuff, like, it seems like things like Last of Us were such a major leap forward in all of this, and to see that kind of continue in the Sony ecosystem with Ghost of Tsushima and Spider-Man and all of that. But in addition to that, it seems like looking at this list now without spoiling it because you're about to read it all, like, it is a lot more varied than I expected. I thought that Last of Us was going to kind of dominate this conversation, or at least Sony properties were going to dominate the winners, and that's not true. There's a whole bunch of different games. And I think that to me is the biggest takeaway of the industry as a whole is taking great strides in solving this problem, or at least attempting to fix as much as they possibly can.
Yeah, I think this is definitely awesome, especially to expand what our ideas of accessibility can be, right? Like, I for people like you and me, right, that boot up a game and immediately are like, oh yeah, I don't even have to open a menu before I can play this thing, right? Mm-hmm. I can just play this thing at face value and enjoy it and not even think about specific types of subtitles or think about changing controls in any way, because games are inherently just tailored for us. It's awesome to see the Accessibility Awards shine a light on different ways in which games can be accessible and be a teaching tool even for people like us, and for the industry as a whole, so we can make games more accessible and playable for more people. As I've been looking through the different award categories, I now understand why they're named the way they are, because man, do they get in depth with these. And if I like sat here and try to like explain every category, we'd probably be sitting here forever. So I'm gonna name the winners, and if you guys want to look into that, you can go over to accessible.games and everything is laid out there.
You can also watch the awards and they explain it all there too.
You can do that too. Kevin ran it.
It's true, I was involved.
He was very involved. The winners look like this. I'll just read the games instead of the categories. I feel like if I read the categories, these guys will still not get much out of it. So the winners go like this: Assassin's Creed Valhalla, The Last of Us Part II, Apex Legends, The Outer Worlds, Ghost of Tsushima, Borderlands 3, Fuser, Madden NFL 2020, Among Us, and then Last of Us Part II again. Again, accessible.games if you want to go in depth into what makes the categories. And yeah, I'm sure that is the whole thing uploaded on YouTube, Kevin?
Or is it going to be? It will be. I believe it's available on Twitch at the moment, but it will be uploaded, I think, to YouTube. I'm pretty sure. Boom. I just sent over a file.
Go check that out. Story number 4, Demon's Souls remake players discover a secret door that wasn't in the original game. This is Michael McWherter at Polygon. While the PS5 remake of Demon's Souls hews closely to the original game in terms of its design, developer Bluepoint Games has made a few intriguing changes to From Software's groundbreaking role-playing game. The studio has also apparently added a new mystery to Demon's Souls, one that players haven't been able to unravel yet. Over the weekend, players discovered a hidden door behind one of Demon's Souls' illusory walls. Those illusions are normally limited to the Shrine of Storms region in the original Demon's Souls, but players of the PS5 remake found a new illusory wall in the third section of the game's first region, Boletarian Palace. Behind that illusory wall, a locked door with no way in. Players also report that there is something behind that locked door, quote, or not quote, these are in parentheses, unlike a similarly mysterious door in Bloodborne, which turned out to be nothing. Using Demon's Souls' new photo mode, players have been able to peek behind that door where a mysterious item awaits. In recent days, players have been brute forcing solutions, attempting everything from shifting the level's world tendency to wearing certain pieces of equipment to carrying 79 gold coins, a throwback to Blue Point's Shadow Colossus remake, which had a secret door that required that amount of hidden coins to unlock. So far, players have had no luck cracking this particular mystery.
Bless.
Another really cool one. What's up, Tim?
Very, very cool. Am I just totally misremembering? Were there coins in Shadow of the Colossus?
I think Blue Point added in their own like collectible. Okay,
so it's not like Mario style coins around the world. It's more Because I was like, no way. Like, that's not how that was.
Yeah, and if you aren't paying attention, I think you'd easily miss them because I missed them in Shadow of the Colossus.
This is awesome, though. I love shit like this, and especially for Souls games. Like, the fact that there is a random secret that everyone, the community, has to get together and figure out, like, that's just always cool. Like, it reminds me a lot of the Mount Chiliad in San Andreas.
Yeah.
Right? Or, I guess, in GTA 5, of trying to figure out the secret. And, like, that was, like, a bigger scale, crazier thing. But I love it for a game that is so based on lore and, you know, a community, honestly, of gamers that are playing this maybe for the first time, but maybe for, you know, the 100th time of Demon's Souls, that have fans that have been there from the Souls series from the beginning. Like, it's cool that everyone's like, oh shit, what is this?
Yeah, I like it. I like the idea of a new layer of mystery, or a new level, like a new layer of I guess like making a world a bit deeper. Like, mm-hmm. I like the idea of that being added, right? As long as it's not taking away from the core game itself, because I know there are so many fans of Demon's Souls that are like, don't change the game, leave it the way it was, it's perfect, it's a work of art, I don't want anything done to it. And like, I definitely understand that standpoint, but this seems mm-hmm. like something that is so, you know, behind the curtain. We're gonna put this door behind this wall that you don't need to, like, you don't even need to know about, right? If you don't run into it, you don't run into it, but we're gonna create this cool mystery in this world that you already know and love, and have players work together. Like, it is that Mount Chiliad thing, right? And like you mentioned in GTA 5, right? Even GTA San Andreas, there was that Bigfoot mystery that turned out, I think, to be nothing. I think that mm-hmm. was disproven a million times. But even when back to GTA San Andreas, I'm like, or was it disproven? Is there a Bigfoot in there? Who knows? We might still be able to find it.
Plus, have you been playing Demon's Souls?
I have not. I booted it up. I did the first area, got to the boss in the first area, and mm-hmm. I think it's the boss that you're supposed to lose to. I think me and Greg talked about this on the latest KFGD. Then got to the area where you enter your non-corporeal form, or whatever people were saying in chat, and I hopped off there. I want to get back to it, but okay. I've been playing other things.
This week's Gamescast is going to be a big one. It's going to be us talking about our essentially like first weeks with the retail Series X and PS5. And we've been playing a whole bunch of games. So everyone, get hyped for that.
Can't wait to talk.
Oh, I've been playing a whole bunch of shit. Tetris Connected.
Oh, very,
have you played that yet? Save it for Gamescast, obviously. But
of course.
I platinumed Astro, my second platinum of all time.
Yeah. Dude, I also platinumed Astro yesterday.
Hell yeah.
I can't wait to talk about that.
I played about an hour of Sackboy.
Nice.
So yeah, Gamescast, we'll get into all of this stuff, but it's going to be a good week.
I'm excited to talk about it because it has been a heavy gaming weekend because of all the games. And like, I've been bouncing back and forth between a lot of them. I booted up Yakuza Like a Dragon yesterday.
Okay.
Played some. And about an hour and a half in, my Xbox Series X pretty much bricked. And
I saw this tweet.
Yeah, it crashed, and I tweeted and then I deleted the tweet because like people were kind of going crazy with it because I tweeted out like, yeah, my Xbox Series X crashed and won't reboot. And people kind of took that and were like trying to make like console war stuff out of it. So I was like, I'm taking this off so people can stop using this. But yeah, like I've not been able to boot it up since. I hit up support and they're helping me out, thankfully. But shout out to the Xbox ecosystem. I unplugged the Series X, plugged in my Xbox One X, picked up from where I left off in Yakuza. And
awesome.
It was so simple. It was so easy. I didn't even have to think about cloud saves or anything.
Yeah.
So shout out to that. But yeah, next gen is here. It's awesome. It's great. Do you think you're going to play Demon's Souls?
I'm definitely going to give it a shot. There's no way I stick with it. No way in hell. But yeah, that is on my list. I want to play a little bit more Sackboy to have more to say on Gamescast. But that is the next one that I want to hop into at least a bit. I had to put my Miles Platinum on pause. I was like, I need to play other games. And, you know, just kind of, there's just so many games out right now. It's like, there's not enough time.
What's the list for you right now in terms of games you need to get to? Because right now you're playing Sackboy. Do you have anything afterwards?
I want to keep touch. I mean, we should save this for Gamescast to get too deep. But Tetris is kicking my ass. But I want to get a little farther in it for sure. But then yeah, Demon's Souls is next on my list. But otherwise, I'm just kind of like you know, kind of getting through the launch lineup a little bit of just trying them all out and then getting back to Miles. I am interested in Yakuza, though, not so much like a dragon, but I'm inspired by all the positive conversation around the franchise right now that I might boot up Yakuza Zero, which is the one everyone's been telling me to get on. Game Pass, man, it just makes it easy. Like, it's taunting me, right? It's just like there's so many games there that I'm like, oh, fuck, I might as well try this. I just been going back. I get so distracted by the old games, want to see how they run. Like, I popped in Ori and the Will of the Wisp just to see how it would run. With all its new fancy enhancements, and my God, it's awesome.
Does it not have the, you know, remember when we played and reviewed it for Xbox One, and there were like those hiccups, those like technical hiccups, like when you pause and unpause and stuff like that? Is all that gone?
Oh my God. To the map, it's instant bless. I was like, holy crap, this would have made the experience, like, my review of Ori would have been way up, like 1.5 score higher than it was if it ran like this from the get-go.
Damn. If I may make one recommendation, if you're looking for a game to jump into, you, The Pathless.
Oh, wait, that's next on my list. I I'm trying to get a code from Greg for that. Awesome. I think I might do that before Demon's Souls.
That game, I feel like that, and I don't want to, you know, do the whole Gamescast conversation here. I feel like The Pathless and Sackboy are the two games that are not getting enough love, that deserve way more love, because they are incredible games. And so, more on Gamescast for sure. But man, check out The Pathless and Sackboy if you're looking for a launch title to play. Story number 5. THQ Nordic claims its Time Splitter 2 remake reference was a joke. This is from Andy Robinson at VGC. Spellforce 3 Fallen God released for PC last week, and players later discovered that several in-game items can be acquired, which refer to upcoming and released THQ Nordic titles. The items include Biomutant, Gothic Remake, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom, and Time Splitters 2 Remake. The item's description reads, translated from French, quote, "It's finally coming, the iconic shooter which has stood the test of time to join the era of modern games," end quote. However, a spokesperson for THQ Nordic has since claimed that this item was intended as a joke. Quote, "The intention behind those Easter eggs was pure fun. When Cook Media and Deep Silver are ready to talk about Time Splitters, they will make sure to get heard," the person said. Time Splitters owner THQ indicated last year that it was planning a feature installment in the series, with the hiring of original co-director Steve Ellis to, quote, "help plot the future course for the franchise." This is such a weird one, because
I hate this. This is bullshit, like, one, man.
Why would you put this Easter egg in your game, period, if it's not happening? But then also, like, we all assume that Time Splitters is coming, right? Like, they've talked about this.
Well, not a remake. I mean, they
talked about the future of Time Splitters.
They bought Time Splitters is what happened, right? And then they're like, oh, eventually one's gonna come. It's like, okay, well, what does that mean? I know that there's the Time Splitters Rewind, which is like a fan-made remake of all the games. Like, that's been happening since, I think, 2015. I remember being in the spare bedroom talking about that. I love Time Splitters. Time Splitters 2 is actually my favorite. It's not the best. Future Perfect definitely is the best. But a Time Splitters 2 remake, I would be all about that, man. This is upsetting.
It's upsetting, but I think it's also bullshit. I think they're making Time Splitters 2 remake, because I don't understand why you put that in your game and not do it. Like, it's like, it's a weird joke if it's a joke.
It's a weird joke, but it's also, I mean, I'm with you that, like, this is so bizarre that why would it even be a rep? Like, this is so random. But on the other side, it's so random. Granted, SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom remake is also the most random thing of all time. They actually did it. But Time Splitters 2, like, I don't, like, that definitely is not like the one everyone's like, oh, if they're going to remake one, it's going to be 2. In my mind, it would either be a collection of all of them or 3. Like, why 2?
We shall see. We shall see. Last news story, story number 6. This is an update from Friday. Everything is okay at Ubisoft Montreal. If you remember, when we closed on Friday's show, the story was breaking, right, about the situation that seemed to be a hostage situation going on at Ubisoft Montreal. I have this pulled from their Twitter that posted later in the day on Friday. They tweeted this statement, quote, "We want to salute the courage and composure our team showed today. Our focus remains on ensuring their health and well-being. We would also like to thank the SPVM for their quick and professional response, helping to bring the situation under control. We are extremely relieved this was resolved without incident, and we'd like to thank you all for your support and kind words, Ubisoft." So there you go. Thankfully, it seems like nobody's hurt. It seems like everybody's okay. Thank God. I echo what Greg said toward the ending of a Friday show, right? Like, nothing is promised, man. And you gotta hold on to life dearly. Be good to people. Like, it's scary out there. Yeah. And so thank God everything's good over there at Ubisoft Montreal. Before we get into what's coming out today, I want to tell you guys about our sponsor. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Gabby. You know, you're probably overpaying on car and home insurance. Sure, you'd love to save money, but is spending hours on your own shopping for a lower rate to maybe save a few bucks worth it? Probably not. Do what a lot of folks have done and use Gabby. Gabby does all the work for you in just a few minutes. And get this, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. Gabby takes the pain out of shopping for insurance by giving you an apples-to-apples comparison of your current coverage with 40 of the top insurance providers like Progressive, Nationwide, and Travelers. Just link your current insurance account, and in just minutes, you'll be able to see quotes for the exact same coverage you currently have. That's what plenty of folks did. It's fast and easy, and you can discover how much you're overpaying for your insurance. Like I mentioned earlier, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. I bet that'd be nice to have in your pocket every year. If they can't find you savings, like they've done for plenty of others, they'll let you know so you can relax knowing you have the best rate out there, and they'll never sell your info. So no annoying spam or robocalls. You're probably overpaying on car and home insurance. See how much Gabby can save you. It's totally free to check, and there's no obligation. Go to gabby.com/gamesdaily. That's gabby.com/gamesdaily. gabby.com/gamesdaily.
Gabby's awesome, man. I used it, and it's super easy to just check everything, make sure that I got the best rates possible. And turns out that I did. I'm totally good, but it was just good to know. It gives me some peace of mind. But some of my friends use it, and they're saving a ton of money on just simple switches on their insurance. And it took like 5 minutes to do.
That's awesome. We're also brought to you by Upstart. There's a lot of economic chatter right now about the state of the market. Is it recovering? How long will it take? Have we seen the worst? But if you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you can't wait for those answers. You need to take action. Now with Upstart, there's actually something you can do today to help fight off high interest credit card debt. Upstart is the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull and won't affect your credit score, the hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Lastly, we're brought to you by HelloFresh. Get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door with HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store, makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. Let me tell you, I got HelloFresh delivered to me a few weeks ago, and it's life-changing, honestly. Like, if you know me, you know I'm not a huge cook. And since quarantine started, especially in these later months as I've moved into my own place with Michael Hyam and I have more control over the kitchen. I've been cooking a bit with that HelloFresh, and they're not joking when they say it's easy, fun, and affordable. Like listening to a podcast and cooking meals that I've never cooked before and having them actually turn out good is life-changing. It's awesome. And so, yeah, HelloFresh is awesome. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. HelloFresh offers so many delicious options every week to help you break out of your recipe rut and try new things. There is something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and kid-friendly recipes. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. Keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread to your weekly order. HelloFresh is committed to making fresh, delicious food available now more than ever and has taken extra steps to keep its employees and customers safe, including contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. Go to HelloFresh.com/games90 and use code games90 to get a total of $80 off your first month, including free shipping on your first box. Additional restrictions apply. Please visit HelloFresh.com for more details. Remember, that's HelloFresh.com/games90 and use code games90 to get a total off $80 your first month. Tim, I'm really excited for my next HelloFresh meal. But man, oh man, dinner is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops right now, where would I go?
Idiot has his mic muted.
You would go right now to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform,
right?
As listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Really, really dumb.
It was hilarious. I switched back to Discord and I just see Tim dancing and I'm like, what's going on right now? what are the vibes right now? Because I'm willing to join in and dance. And also I really did the sunglasses. You are really giving off Pitbull vibes. And
thank you. Thank you.
I respect it. Out today, we got Shrimp for PC, Pocket Penguin for PC, Forgotten Soundscape for PC and Mac, and Just Old for PC. And that's it. I don't have any new dates for you or any deals of the day. So let's go right into reader mail. Of course, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Write in with your question, just like Nick did. Nick writes in and says, hi, KFGD. I had a follow-up question for Friday's KFGD where October's NPDs were discussed. FIFA and Madden came in first and second. However, both of these titles were reviewed poorly with many reviewers indicating a lack of polish and innovation from previous titles as the main reason. My question is, if EA can release buggy and uninspired iterations of their sports games and still chart extremely well in game sales and make billions in Ultimate Team money, why would they ever try to improve? Thanks, Nick. This is kind of a leading question because I feel like you're kind of answering the question yourself when you say, why would they ever try to improve? But Tim, where are you at in terms of the iterative EA titles? Do you think there's an issue here in terms of these titles coming out, seeming to review poorly because it's the same thing every year and them still making a lot of money off them?
I mean, look, is it a problem? Absolutely. Is it going to change? Probably not, unless people stop buying and stop supporting the stuff. And that's, I don't think, going to happen anytime soon. Because the people buying these games and, you know, contributing to these microtransactions and all that, they're not the ones looking at reviews, right? They're not the ones that are kind of giving a shit about what other people think about the quality of the games. They just want their sports games every year, and they're going to pay for them, and they're continuing to pay for them. I think the EA has made a lot of changes in recent years based on conversations that have happened. We've seen it with Star Wars and the microtransactions there and all of that. And they've kind of turned around in a lot of ways, but that's because people were vocal and showing that like they're not putting up with it. With this stuff, I don't think that there's a big enough group of people showing that they're not putting up with it. So it's one of those things where I imagine a lot of EA guys are looking at this and are just like, yeah, it's a problem. It's not our problem.
Yeah, like I mean, it's their business model, right? Like, come out, do an iterative title, make bank, repeat, and like Is it a problem? I guess it depends on the lens you're looking at it from. Like, if you're a fan of the sports games and you're wanting to see big changes, then yeah, like, I understand the frustration there. For me, as somebody who used to buy FIFA every year, like from about 2010 to 2016, I was that person that was playing FIFA pretty much yearly, because I had a group of friends that would play FIFA together, and we'd always want to get the new one because in our minds, right, like, we wanted those new yearly improvements, as minuscule as they were. And, like, granted, if you play FIFA 2010 and then play FIFA 2016, those are dynamically different games. They control differently. Obviously, the rosters are different, but that's going to happen every year, obviously. But, like, there are improvements there. There are improvements that happen. I think this kind of comes back to the conversation of what is $60 worth to you, or what is $70 worth to you in this new generation? For me, back in that day, yeah, $60 was worth getting the next FIFA because it was more of a community experience rather than about the game itself. Like, FIFA to me wasn't a God of War, or it wasn't a Watch Dogs, or it wasn't necessarily meant to be a, hey, I'm buying this new game so I can get this huge jump from the previous one, and so I can, like, look to the future with this new title. No, I was getting a new FIFA so I can keep up with my friends. Like, FIFA was very much a community game for me. So $60, if anything, was the entry fee for me to be part of the community. And yeah, for a lot of folks, I understand that that sucks. And even I look at this and I'm like, yeah, there are a lot of problems with this, especially if the games aren't reviewing as well. And that part, I mean, that part of it kind of comes back to, again, how you play the games. Because for me, I played FIFA 21. And the way I played that game, I jump into online friendlies. I jump into seasons, and I jumped into FIFA Volta. And all those things were fun to me. Granted, the previous FIFA I played before this one was, I think, 18 or 17. Now, I wasn't even playing those games super hardcore. And so, like, for me, as somebody who was jumping in, it was fine. And there are plenty of people in a bunch of different use cases when it comes to when they get a sports game, how they play it, all that stuff that are going to essentially interpret and review it differently. But when it all comes down to it, it is that thing of, yeah, if it works for EA, it works for EA. And sadly, like, that's the bummer of the reality of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, with that, yeah, I don't expect it to change or necessarily even improve. I think this is the way things are until, like, you get a FIFA entry or a Madden entry that is super bad, that is broken, that is NBA Live.
Totally. It happened NBA Live, so yeah. It can happen. But I just think that all of this stuff helps create a world where that's not going to happen, because there's just built-in monetization that is going to keep supporting these bad decisions in a way that NBA Live got beat out because of competition, right?
Exactly.
Like, it only lost any interest because NBA 2K was there and they weren't fucking up. Whereas I think that FIFA kind of lacks that direct competition. Like, there's the Konami game.
Yeah, Pro Evo.
But that's different. You know, like, that the kind of is not even in the same league as FIFA in terms of, like, I just feel like it's a different audience playing that game.
Yeah. And, like, you'll have a go back and forth every year where people are like, oh yeah, this year's Pro Evo game is better than this year's FIFA. Mm-hmm. But FIFA does have that built-in audience that I think you can never kind of topple over. And I think that is such a big thing when it comes to this conversation, is competition and the lack of it. That's why there was a news story recently about UFC renewing their deal with EA for the next 10 years. And for me, as somebody who likes the EA UFC games, fine. That was kind of a bummer of a news story, because you're telling me that EA is not going to have competition for UFC for the next 10 years. That means that they're going to have not much of a reason to really innovate with that franchise and probably keep it the same for the next 10 years. That to me is kind of where the bummer of it comes in. Mm-hmm. But TA, like, they don't really have reason to change things. Therefore, I don't think you will see big changes in the Madden and FIFA franchises. But who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? I got one more question from the bus driver 05, who writes in and says, hey, KFGD, after playing Spider-Man Remastered for several long hours over the weekend, I couldn't help but notice both days that my hands hurt from the DualSense controller. My hands feel fatigued or as if they are bruised underneath. As someone who has been gaming since 86, I've never had this problem before with any controller, including the infamous OG Xbox Duke. Nor did I have it with the long hours of playing on Series X earlier in the week. My question is to you and the best friends, is anyone else having similar issues? Or does this mean my hands have finally met their match and I may develop hand issues? My parents used to warn me about as a kid playing games all day. Thanks, the bus driver 05.
Getting old, man. It sucks. Body just starts changing. Can't expect anything to work the way it used to work. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel for you, man. I feel for you, bus driver.
I ain't a doctor, and so I can't really speak to this in a deep way.
Is Tim trying to do a character? Like, is he trying to be Mr. Worldwide?
I think it's the sunglasses.
I don't like it.
It's the sunglasses.
There's no character. It's just me. It's just your friend,
like,
Tim.
It didn't sound like friend, Tim. Sound like
I think it's just the sunglasses.
I like the energy they're bringing to you, though, because I feel like they're bringing out a certain side of Tim that we need to see more. It's cool Tim. You know, we have cool Greg. This is cool Tim.
I feel like cool Tim is just Brian Altano, and it's, you know, it's not doing it for me.
It is Brian Altano, isn't it? It could be the long hours of video games you're playing bus driver, or it could be this specific controller, your hands just don't meld well with it. Like, it could be a number of things. Obviously, again, I'm not a doctor. I don't think I've had the thing where a specific controller makes my hands ache in any way.
The Switch.
Like, I've had certain games that I play. Like, I remember playing, this is a very deep cut, I played Seven Samurai 20XX on the PS2. Mm-hmm. And that game is a hack and slash where every move is square. And by the time I finished that game, oh my God, my thumb was sore. Like, my thumb couldn't take the amount of times I was tapping square repeatedly. And maybe it's this week of gaming for you, bus driver. Like, it's the combination of playing all that AC and all the other games you're playing that's causing aches. Who knows? Kevin, what were you going to say?
I was going to say the Switch, when, like, the controllers are on it, always ends up hurting my right hand. Like, I get a cramp in the middle of it.
Oh, you mean like when you're in handheld mode?
Yeah, in handheld mode. There's just something about the way I have to, like, angle my thumb. It's no good. No good.
Mm.
No. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater wrecks me, but it wrecked me when I was a little kid too. So I don't know if there's too much of a difference. But after, like, when I'm going for a long combo, then after the session, I'm always just like, I need to shake it out. You know, probably not good.
I want to say the Wiimote holding it sideways playing Smash.
Oh hell yeah!
Was a bit problematic for me.
No way.
It was, weirdly enough, in Brawl, that was my preferred way to play because I was a weirdo. But it did have, it wasn't ideal for hand comfortability. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. PKFC writes in and says, Resident Evil 4 has been on more platforms than Skyrim. RE4 being on 11 platforms with a GameCube, PS2, Wii, PS3, PS4, 360, Xbox One, Switch, PC, iOS, Android, and then Skyrim being on 6 with PS3, PS4, 360, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. But Skyrim was also on the Alexa, right? You had Alexa Skyrim.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah.
I think we are, though, right? Like, that counts. Mm-hmm.
Wait, and also Skyrim, there was the VR Skyrim.
This kid doesn't know what he's talking about. Let's block him.
Was VR Skyrim on Oculus?
I don't remember.
Because they might be looping that in with PS4.
I mean, you can't
it's
do that.
It's different, yeah. It's different.
That's fair.
It's two different consoles.
Yeah.
The PS4 and PSVR?
No.
No.
PSVR and Oculus.
Oh, gotcha.
Although, yeah, PS4 and PSVR are different consoles. I mean, like, it's an add-on, right? But it's a different thing. Like, just because you have... Well, I guess...
But if the SKU wasn't different, it doesn't count for this exercise.
Mm. Okay, that makes sense. You know what? PKFC might be looping in PC with Oculus, which I wouldn't. I would put Oculus as its own platform.
Is the Vive its own thing on it?
Is the SKU its own thing?
Mm.
SKU?
An odd doodle here says Skyrim is on 9 platforms, counting VR and Alexa.
Hmm.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Nanobot just points out, it says, Blessing, there has been an article about violent video games and the effects on pre-adolescent youth. And yeah, like, I don't think I was saying that there hasn't ever been studies on video game violence in youth. I'm more so coming at it from the perspective of, I want to see, like, studies that kind of have a zoomed out view and tackle it all as a whole, right? Like, the benefits, the negatives, with more in-depth actual, like, analytics.
Huh.
Not saying that there are none already out there though, because I know there are. Let's see here.
Tim, take off the glasses. It's not working the way you think.
I can't even like get my eyebrows like above the glasses without really stretching my face.
The final boss fight mentions the Accessibility Awards 2020 is already available as a VOD on Alana's channel, so you can check it out there.
Yeah, on Twitch. We said that, right? YouTube is
on a YouTube channel. YouTube channel.
On our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Huh. Cool. All right. Oh, there you go.
Ignacio Rojas is saying, I've seen several people on Twitter and on the KF Reddit with the same problem as a bus driver.
But yeah, people got there. Stupid hands, you know what I mean? Sometimes.
I feel like sometimes hands have to like adjust to a new controller. Because like the DualSense feels different from any like controller I've held before. Like it's obviously like it's still a PlayStation controller, but it's not, it doesn't feel exactly like an Xbox controller that I've held for 7 years, right? Like it feels like a new thing, so I understand people holding it and being like, oh my god, you know, like it's different, it's hurting my hands now, it's so heavy, it's so heavy the sense is so sensitive in the DualSense. So many senses being activated. And this isn't a year wrong, but it just came in and I'm gonna read it anyway. Rendo writes in and says, just want to say you two are looking very sharp today. Thank you, Rendo, I appreciate that. It's very nice.
You didn't see it, but I just winked at you.
This did week's host. Oh, man. Oh, because you're wearing the sunglasses. That's why they can't see it. Oh, yeah. Man. This week's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily look like this. Tomorrow, it's me and I'm Ron. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and Tim. Friday, it's Greg and me. If you're watching this live on Twitch, right after this is in review, Lego Batman movie. So stay tuned for that. Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching on Patreon, we have a post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com. So it's Kind of Funny Games. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Before we go, Kev.
All right.
Two things. Yep. One,
I'm here.
We're getting an echo from you.
Right now?
Just started, yeah. Two,
the fuck?
Moose Springsteen in the chat says, is that Mr. World Wide Web? And I'm That's so
perfect.
Mad
That's perfect.
That I wasted this and fucked it up on Games Daily. I should have done it on Internet Explorers. And you know what? From now on, I'm Mr. World Wide Web. So thank you for that, Moose Springsteen.
Welcome to the new persona, Mr. World Wide Web. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.